Okay, so we'll start on Lamed Gimel, Amud Aleph of the two dots. Yesterday we discussed the issues in the beginning of the Mishnah. The last part of the Mishnah was that the Takana of Rabbi Gamliel, that Hitkin Rabbi Gamliel, Zaken Shlohiu Osim Kain, that people couldn't just be Mevatel Shlichus without telling the Shliach, without telling the Isha, just by pulling aside a new Beis Din. They didn't allow this to happen, Shlohiu Sukei Mipnei Tikkun Olam, because of the problems that might arise from that. So what are the problems that could arise from it, or what's the tikkun olam that Rabbi Gamliel was after? So that's what the Gemara is asking over here. My pnei tikkun olam. What was the tikkun olam that prompted this takanat chachamim that Rabbi Gamliel was speaking about? So Rabbi Yochanan amar mi pnei takanat mamzerin. Rish Lakish amar mi pnei takanat agunot. Rabbi Yochanan says it's because of mamzerin, and Rish Lakish says it's because of agunot. So the Gemara is going to explain this. Rabbi Yochanan amar Mipnei takanat mamzerim. What does it mean? Because of the takana of mamzerim. Savarlak Rav Nachman. He holds like Rav Nachman, who we saw at the end of yesterday's daf, at the bottom of yesterday's daf, that Rav Nachman requires when someone is mevatel get, right, he only has to be mevatel get in front of two people. Damar bifnei shnayim, that you only have to be mevatel get in front of two. Ubei trei leit luhu kala. And when you have two people, that doesn't have a kol. And if it doesn't have a kol, Behilo Shama, the woman doesn't hear about it. Belo Yada, and because she doesn't hear about it, she doesn't know. Va'azlo Minsibo, then she'll go ahead and get married. Ve'ike Mamzerim, and then you'll end up with Mamzerim. So that was the Pnei Tikkun Olam, and the Takana of Rabbi Gamliel was coming to prevent this issue of Mamzeris, where the woman wouldn't find out about it and rely on this get to get remarried. Reish Lakish Amari Pnei Takanat Agunot. Problem was Takanat Agunot. He holds like Rav Sheshet. Again, from yesterday's daf, second half of yesterday's daf, the Rav Sheshet believes that when you present when you want to retract this get, that you only have to do it in front, you have to do it in front of three people, not two people. Because of that, therefore, Damar Bifnei Gimel, Ubeitzlata Eat Lehukala. So when you have three people, that already establishes a kol, and therefore it'll be made known what you were trying to do. Vishama, therefore the woman does hear, we assume the woman does hear about it, v'yada, v'lo minsebo, and then she won't get married, v'takanat agunot hu de'ika, because of the takanat agunot, that is why we did it. So what is the takanat agunot hu de'ika? So this Rashi says, takanat agunot hu de'ika, da'at shrechine le'lech acharav, that we force the baal, instead of being able to do it on the spot, to be mevatel l'shlichus, we force him to run after the shliach or to the woman or l'shloach shliach, lo yitrach b'kolelo b'shvil agna, and he won't go out of his way. Meaning that because we're placing a larger burden on the husband in order to be mevatel to get, then he's less likely to do it, and if he's less likely to do that, he won't leave her an aguna. He won't leave her an aguna. So Tosfos points out over here, what does it mean that we're leaving her an aguna? Because truthfully, she's not married. She's not divorced. She is married. So what does that mean? She's an aguna. I mean, so that's Tosfos says over here. If you look in Tosfos, v'shama v'yadav lo mintzba tanakat ugunot hidika afagav de bedin lo mintzba. Right? Even though minadin she can't get married because she's not divorced. Choshev igun. That is still called igun. That's still called an aguna. And he said, we see that from the other case, if you remember earlier in the Gemara, we had this on Tav Chofav, and then we saw Rashi and Tosfos over there disagreed about what exactly aguna meant in that context, whereas Rashi thought aguna meant even after the divorce, she still can consider aguna if she's left alone. But Tosfos over there also believed that what? That when the sofer is not available, or the stuff's not ready for the sofer to write it right away, he'll leave her back here, and she'll remain detached and married. So igun, according to Tosfos, means that even if she is rightfully married, not divorced, that still is called an igun if she's left there without her husband being present. So that's how Rashi and Tosfos here explain this igun. The igun is that the woman will be left undivorced. Because she'll be left undivorced, we don't want that. So Rashi, we solve the problem by making it difficult for the husband to reverse such a giving of the get. So the Pnei Yeshua quotes the Yerushalmi, and says, Mipnei takanat agunot, is because similarly we have this in the Gemara in Ksubos, talks about this, Mipnei ha prutzot, or Mipnei ha tsnuot, right? That we don't, over there the Gemara says that the Rabbanan by Onis by Gitin didn't allow the get to be validated or validated there. So why was that? So Gemara says, "Mipnei tznuot u'pnei prutzot." So over there, the problem with the tznuot is that they will think that it's not a good get, and because they think it's not a good get, they won't get remarried. So that's how the Yerushalmi, according to Pnei Yeshua, the Yerushalmi over here learns what is mipnei agunot. The problem is that the woman will think he'll send the shliach with the get, and the woman will think that he was mevatel the shliach, or she'll be choshish that he was mevatel the shliach. If it's mevatel the shliach, it's not a good get, and then she won't get married. So that's the case of agunash. Now she's stuck because she can't get remarried. Even though she's really not married to him, she's stuck because she doesn't know that it's really a valid get because of this problem of reversal. So when we created this system by which he couldn't reverse the get unless he spoke directly to the shliach or to the woman, then we prevented this issue from happening, and the woman will know for certain that the get was not reversed, and she will marry based on that get. All right, Tana Rabbanan. So we pointed out this Gemara was relevant yesterday, because Gemara asked before, prior to the Takana of Rabbi Gamliel, how many people did you have to give the get in front of? So we said two or three. That was Machlokas Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshet. We said, my nafkamina, right? Meaning that once Takana of Rabbi Gamliel came along, who cares what they said by Rav Nachman Rav Sheshet? So Tosu says, well, it's because of the Gemara today. It's this sugi right now. So Rabbanan, because what happens if you violate the Takana of Rav Gamliel? So Tana Rabbanan, bitlo mivutal divrei Rabbi. Rabbi says, if he goes ahead, despite the Takana of Rabbi Gamliel, he goes ahead and is mevatel the get, then it is mivutal. It works. That's what Rabbi says. Shimon Gamliel omer, ene yachol, lo levatlo, velo lehosif al tno. He may not be mevatel the get once he puts the shliach into motion, velo lehosif al tno, and change any of the conditions involved. Shim Kain, Makoch Beis Din Yofet. Meaning that if the whole point of the Takanas Rabbi Gamliel was to protect either from Mamzerut or from Agunot, then if we say in the end, if he does it, despite the Takanas Rabbi Gamliel, it's still good, then Makoch Beis Din Yofet. What was the whole point of the Takanas Beis Din? It had no impact. It didn't do anything. Because they say, don't do it, and if you do it, doesn't matter because it works. So then what's Makoch Beis Din Yofet? So Gemara says, whoa, if that's the case, what do we have now? We have that if a man sends a get, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, sends a get, and he does not follow the Takanas Rabbi Gamliel, and he is mevatel the get. Right? He goes ahead, he pulls, you know, pulls aside, but based on mevatel the get. And then he says, you know, I don't want this get to go, it's not good, I'm mevatel the shlichus. So what do we say? Mido raisa, mina Torah, that bitul was a good bitul. So the get is invalid. Yeah, the Chum say that bitul does not work. That bitul doesn't work when the get gets to her. It's a good get midrabbanon. So now you have a get that is posel min haTorah, and the rabbanon are saying it's a good get. Umiika midit min deoraisa batel gita umshum makoch bezin yofe shirin in eshet ish alma. Says what? Because right? Is there such a condition or a case where you're going to have that the min haTorah, this get is a valid get? And because we're worried at Ma'akoach Beis Din Yofet, we're worried about maintaining the integrity of Beis Din and the Takanas Chachamim, we're going to say, you know what? You can go marry anybody you want. That it's a good get. That we're going to be Matar Eichid Ish La'alma. So how could you have that Midrabbanan be override, right, that which the Midoraisa is not a good get, and then say Midrabbanan, it is a good get. The Gemara says, well, this is a famous line, in. Yes, you can have this. We had this in Ksubos together. They called the Mekadesh, Adat Adarabonon Mekadesh. Right? Anybody who gets married, Adat Adarabonon, based on the Das of the Rabbonon. The Afkinu and the Rabbonon undermined the Kiddushin Minei. They retroactive. They said that the Kiddushin that he had originally was not a good Kiddushin. So you're right. The get is invalid Midoraisa. But midrabbanan, the get is also, quote-unquote, invalid. But the rabbanan said, fine, we're just going to remove the kiddushin. By removing the kiddushin, you don't need a get. So we don't have any problem anymore. So by removing the kiddushin, you don't have a get. If you don't have a get, then, I'm sorry, by not having a kiddushin, you don't need a get. If you don't need a get, then fine, she's not married, and she can go out and marry. So how does this work? How does that work? So Tosos points out here, and Rashi says a similar thing. Right, that's why we say when one person gets married, right, when a person gets married, he says Kedat Moshe Yisrael, meaning that that's exactly what he's doing. He's embedding in his kiddushin the das of the chachamim, and by embedding the das of chachamim or putting it as an explicit tonight in his kiddushin, then if the rabbanon later on say that that wasn't a kiddushin, then they have triggered the Tanai that he established at the time of his Kiddushin. Now, the Tosus in other places says, and seems from Rashi later on, that we're possibly functioning here with Hefker based in Hefker. Right? That he gave money to the woman to be Mekadesh the woman. So by giving money to the woman to be Mekadesh her, right, that functions, that money that's his functions as the Keseth Kiddushin. So what do we say here? We say the Rabbanan come along and say Hefker based in Hefker, that money wasn't yours. So therefore, either that money was just a gift to her, or that money was Hefker and wasn't yours. If it wasn't yours, then the Kiddushin never took place. That's it. Hefker, based in Hefker, allows the Rabbanan here to be Me'akir, the Kiddushin. I saw the Ramban in Ksubos asks, why do you have to do that at all? Why can't you just say that Kol Mekadesh Adayta Rabbanan Mekadesh is that the Rabbanan are Okir, the Kiddushin? Forget about the money. Forget about Hefker, based in Hefker. Let's just say that Kol Mekadesh Adata the Rabbanan Mekadesh means that exactly that. They can change the Kiddushin, the status of that Kiddushin. That's the Tanai. And the Kiddushin is that the Rabbanan can say it's yes Kiddushin or not Kiddushin. Nothing to do with money, and you don't need Hefker based in Hefker at all. And then we can understand the next part of the Gemara. We'll see in a second. We can understand from that. So now, the Gemara says, we'll finish up the Gemara to the two dots, and there's a lot to be said here. So try to cover a little ground over here before we finish up the dot. All right, so now the Gemara says, Amar le Ravina le Ravashi, Tinach the Kaddish Bekaspel. That makes sense if you use money, right? Because then we can say that Rabbanan said, you know, either according to Rashi and Tosfos that Hefker based in Hefker, because you're talking about money, you're talking about a transaction. Therefore, you can have Hefker based in Hefker. According to Ramban, meaning that since you did it, there's no, but when Rabbanan Oker the Kiddushin, there's no Chet left here. There's nothing that he did wrong by him doing that. But Kodesh Bevio, Ma'ikal Meimar. If someone's Mekadesh, right, there are three ways to create Kiddushin. That's what? Kesef, Shtar, and Bio. So Kesef and Shtar, they can be Oker, the Kiddushin, right, over there. Number one is Hefker based and Hefker could work in either of those two instances. Or if they're Oker, the Kiddushin, nothing, you know, in the action of itself of making it into a gift or whatever, that there's no violation. As opposed to that, when you have Bio, if you're Mekadesh, or you day Bio, if the Chum say that it's not Kiddushin, well, first of all, there's no Hefker based in Hefker, so that can't be the vehicle by which the Chamer are Oker the Kiddushin. And number two is, when you are Oker the Kiddushin, now you create a position where this person did something wrong, meaning that he actually now had Bia with this woman, and this Bia would not be for Kiddushin, and then for it becomes inappropriate Bia. So that's what the Gemara says. Well, no problem. Shavua Rabbanan Biato Bilat Znut. That's exactly what the Chachamim did. The Chachamim changed his Bia to be a Biat Znut. And that's what you say when we say that Kol Mekadesh Adaita the Rabbanan Mekadesh. That's what it means. That the Rabbanan have that power, ability to change the status of the Bia that you're using here to eliminate your ability to be Mekadesh Ayudei Bia. Because they'll say the Bia is not for Kiddushin, but rather for Znus, and therefore you were never Nit Kadesh. So now, why is that? I mean, what are the Chachamim doing? How does it work that they are making your Bia into a Bia Znus? So Rashi over here quotes his Rebbeim. It's very, very famous, thing said by his Rebbeim, which is that the Rebbeim say that Kesef Kiddushin can be done by Kesef Shtar Chazaka, that Kesef, when you do Kiddushin Kesef, that's only Midar Abonon. That's only rabbinic in nature. Since it's only rabbinic in nature, that's what the Gemara was saying before. Since Kesef Kiddushin is only Midar Abonon, therefore the Rabbanon can come along and be Oker that Kiddushin. But Kiddushin Bia is Minat Torah. If Kiddushin Bia is Minat Torah, how could the Chachamim come and be Oker Kiddushin Bia Minat Torah? So that the Gemara says, no problem. Because what? Because we have a Gemara in Kiddushin that says that Rav was Mangid. Rav gave lashes to anybody who was Mekadesh Bia. That Rav gave Malkus to anybody who's Mekadesh Bia, and therefore, because of Pritzutza, and therefore, the Rebbeim of Rashi believe that any time a person's Mekadesh Bia, it doesn't work. There is no such thing as Kiddushin Bia anymore. That's what the Chachamim did. The Chachamim removed the ability to be Nitkadesh Ayudei Bia. So Rashi argues here, not just Rashi, but all the Rishonim argue here on the Rebbeim of Rashi, which is for obvious reasons, which is, number one, Rashi says, Kesef Kiddushin is Midoraisa. Right? It's learned from Gzera Shava of Kicha Kicha Mistei Afron. and never heard that Kesef Kiddushin is Midrabbanan. So that's number one. Number two is, if a person gets married through Kesef Kiddushin, and then she has an extramarital affair, Beis Din will kill her. Right? She'll be put to death for that extramarital affair. So if you say that Kesef Kiddushin is only Midrabbanan, how can we put a woman to death based on Kesef Kiddushin? So Rashi rejects the pshat of his Reveim. And Rashi says that they are all mi deoraisa, that everything's deoraisa. Kesher Star and Chazak and Kesher Star and Bia are all mi deoraisa. So how does it work over here by Bia? So if you look in Rashi, it's the last narrow line in Rashi. It says the Yesh Behen Koach Lekach. The Chame have the ability to do this. Shari Kidesh Aminog Chok Da'atam Kidesh. Right, so that when a person got married, he got married based on whatever their principles or ideas are. I mean, they're based on whatever the Chum say. That's how he got married. That was an implicit and explicit tenai in his Kiddushin. I'm sorry? Right, exactly. So, Kachani Mifresh B'chom L'Kom L'Bi. So, Rashi would be, as all the other Rishonim point out, Rashi would be, and his Rebbeim would probably fall by the wayside, except for a problem, which is the Rambam. The Rambam and Hilchos Ishus, if you listen to this, I'll read you the Rambam. There are other Girsos in the Rambam that actually eliminate this based on a tshuva from, that's in the Rambam. I actually found, I was looking for the Rambam to quote to you, and I found there's a Rambam that's put out by Machon Mamre, and they actually have the Girsa changed, so I couldn't read it to you. But I have it here from the Bar Ilan CD. So listen to this Rambam. He says, L'kuchim elu mitzvat aseh shel atorahim, uvechad mishlosha dvarim ha'isha niknet. Women can be bekesef, ubishtar, ubibia. Bibia ubishtar mina Torah. Bia and shtar from the Torah. Ukesef midivrei sofrim. And kesef is midivrei sofrim. So as you can imagine, the Ravid on the spot as a macha and says, what is he talking about? This is mishubash and something metayo. The Rambam, where did he ever get such a thing? And how could he ever say such a thing? The Ravid says. And the Ramban, when he has his Hasagos and Sefer Mitzvah says the same thing, goes, where the Rambam ever gets such a thing, that Kesef Kiddushin is mi divrei sofrim. So many of the Mefarshim on the Rambam explain that mi divrei sofrim is not literally mi divrei derabbanan, but rather the Rambam's way of defining certain things. That means there are things that are written explicitly by Torah, and there are certain things that are darshan mi gyu gimel midot. A Kesef Kiddushin comes from a Gzeira Shava, which is one of the Yud Gimel Midot, and the Rambam calls or coins those terms as Divrei Sofrim, not to mean that they are Dirabbanon, but rather they're not explicit in the Torah. They're done through a Limud of the Chachamim, a Kabbalah of Alacha Lemosh Misinai, and the Rambam terms them as Divrei Sofrim, not meaning Dirabbanon, but as opposed to Doraisa, meaning explicit in the Torah. So that's the solution of mostly Achronim. I'll point out a number of things that I heard from Rav Rosenzweig. Rav Rosenzweig, first of all, points out that the Rambam, in general, does not like this principle of either Hefker Beis Din Hefker, or that the Beis Din can be Oker Davar Min HaTorah. The Rambam doesn't like this because it has overarching impact in terms of what you can say. Yet that we say that the Chachamim or a court or a Beis Din can change the Torah or uproot the Torah, it has a unbelievable precedent or bad precedent that you send. And so you'll never see that the Rambam never quotes these things. I mean, the Rambam, when he codifies the Halacha, never quotes this term of Kinu Rabbanan LeKedushin Minei. The Rambam never uses that term. He always uses some other way to work it out, and he doesn't use the term Hefker Beis Din Hefker. Two of those terms are not found in the Rambam. The Rambam believes that these were tools or powers that were way beyond that which should be given to any person to be Oker Davar Min HaTorah. And because if you do that, you set up a precedent by which people could always, or that say that the Torah is not immutable, and that would be a huge problem. Second thing he said is how to answer the Rambam with regards to Midivrei Sofrim, is that the Rambam uses the term Midivrei Sofrim when he's talking about a hierarchy. We discussed Divrei Sofrim and hierarchy in terms of the Limud. All right, there's a lima d'oraisa, and there's a lima d'yugimul midot. So not that they're both d'oraisa, that's the hierarchy in terms of what type of lima you have. Rav Rosenzweig suggested, no, that the hierarchy that the Rambam is trying to lay out is a hierarchy in what's the most preferential way to perform kiddushin. And truthfully, Mi'ikar HaDin and Min HaTorah, the most preferential way to create Kiddushin is Derech Bia. Why? Because that's an intimate, right, act that is solely related to Kiddushin and inside the realm of Kiddushin and Nisuin. So therefore, if one really wanted to perform Kiddushin for the best way possible, that is Kiddushin Ayudei Bia. Now, when we want to go and the Rambam wants to say hierarchy, okay, we know that Kiddushin Kesef works. But Kiddushin Kesef is really what's, as we'll call it, is a Lashon Mush'al. Right? It's a term that's borrowed from Kinyanim. Right? Kesef Kiddushin works like a way we would do in a regular Kinyan. So the Chamim took, or not the Chamim, but the Torah gives permission through a Gzer Shava, Kicha Chicha, for one to marry Derech, right, Kiddushin. But that's Derech HaKinyan, not in the normal way that Kiddushin is suing of intimate and closeness that's created, but rather through a vehicle that's borrowed from regular Kinyanim. And since that's the case, the Rambam indicating the hierarchy of what's the most preferential way to do Kiddushin, first is Bia, and then is Kesef Kiddushin. And then based on the Rambam in actually Halacha Aleph, before that, the Rambam says, Lifnei Matan Torah, the way a person would create Kiddushin was that a man would take a woman aside, and therefore this Halacha is a continuation of that, that the preferential way to create Kiddushin is through Bia, and then Kesef is only a way, that's the way that we have to do it, but that's not the most preferential way, because it doesn't have any intimacy, and it's really a borrowed function that comes from other halachot, which are the halachot of Kinyonim. And that's why the Rambam termed Kesef Kiddushin as Divrei Sofrim rather than Minha Torah. So it's just a nice thought from Rosenzweig. The last thing I'll do with you is the Tosos over here, Vafkinu Rabbanon LeKiddushei Minei. So over here, the Tosos asks a question. Well, according to this, number one, one of the questions isn't so important, but it'll give three questions that the Tosos asks. Number one is, why don't we worry about Shema Yechapeh al Bat Achoto? Right, we have this problem that you have to date a get because we're worried about the possibility that he'll cover up for his niece, right, that who has a extramarital affair. Well, you know what he could do? He could actually send her a get and then be Mavatel the get without telling anybody. If he does that, what do we say now? We say that the Kiddushin, Rabbanan Afkinu the Kiddushayu, that they're going to retroactively eliminate his Kiddushin, and now this woman was never married to him, she was never married to him, there's no extramarital affair. So he can protect his niece by doing this whole patent here. He could send a get and then be mevatel it without telling anybody. And that will be, then will be oskidushin. There won't be any marriage anymore and the woman will be good. That's one. Number two, the question, which is not such a strong question, you have always have a sras suffik. Whenever you tell a woman who is having an extramarital affair that she's going to be punished, who knows if the husband sent her again, it's going to be mevatel it. I don't think that's such a strong question. The last question is, based on that, we can be matar mamzerim. Right? If you want to be a Matara Mamzer, how do you be a Matara Mamzer? We discussed this in other cases. But what? You can be a Matara Mamzer by sending a get to the woman, then be Mavatal it without telling anybody. She wouldn't be married, and therefore the children born out of wedlock, right, with an extramarital affair will not be Mamzer anymore because she was not married. So this would be a great solution for Mamzerim. So the Re over here says that we don't worry about this, because we only worry about Mechape on his niece when he's doing something illegal. I mean, if he predates the get is not really in effect beforehand. So he did something illegal. And therefore, when he's protecting his niece, he's doing it in a way that doesn't really protect her. Over here, the Re says, no. But here, over here, when he does it, Midoraisa, it really works. So since it really works, Midoraisa, we're not going to say, we're not going to make a takana to stop him, because if he does it, it really does work. And if it does work, we're not going to worry. We're not going to be choshesh for that. Rabbeinu Tam rejects it and says, no way. He says it does not work here. The Rabbeinu Tam answers over here. It's very interesting. The Rabbeinu Tam says that it doesn't work over here because the last, if you go to this Tosos, Afkinu Rabbanan LeKiddushin, if you go to the two, four lines from the bottom of that Tosos, it says, Umar Shikshim Ken Yichapel Batachoto, Yicholim Amzer Leteher, Iyadinan Shlekach Mitkavein, if this is his intent, Lo Mafkinin Kiddushin Minei. We're not okay with Kiddushin. Why? The whole point of the takanat chachamim was to prevent a problem from happening. Prevent the problem of a woman thinking she's divorced and she's really not divorced. But over here, where we know his clear intent is to do something besides what the takanat chachamim is afterwards, then the takanat chachamim will not be in effect for him, will not work on his behalf. Because that's the case, then no woman will ever worry about having an extramarital affair or having kids out of wedlock because of this problem. Right? But if it's clear to us that that's not his intent, lo chayshinim yocholim l'tayar. We don't worry about it if a side effect of that is that the mamzerim would get tahor, that we don't worry about. But if his clear intent is either to protect his niece or to take care of the mamzerim's issue, there the chachamim's takana was never in effect. That's the way Rabbeinu Tam says. The Ramban in Ketubot actually answers this differently, and he suggests otherwise. The Ramban in Ketubot says that the issue is when the Rabbanim say afkinu and afkinu, the kedushayu, right, and then they meshavye over there. We say meshavye bilato bilatznut. That is what that the a person will not want his bia to be a bia tznus. Person does not want his bia to be a bia tznus. So therefore, if he's given the choice between a get being an effective get versus what his being a bia tznus, he's always going to choose the effective get option. So therefore, when a person gives a get and his whole intent is to be mevatel the mamzerus, to protect his niece, then we're going to have to say now, how are the chachamim going to work over here? They're going to have to work by saying that his bia is a bias nus, and then we removed his, right, we removed the kedushin here. So in that case, the Ramban says it doesn't work. Why? Because he's going to opt for the get, and he will not, when he goes to mevatel the get, his bittul is not a real bittul, and his tanai is not a real tanai, because he's not, we assume, or we tell him, he's not going to want that. He doesn't want his bia to be a bias nus, and therefore he wants the get to work as being the get. Over here, the problem is, what, the get is not a good get. Midoraisa, the get is not good at all. So over here, we have no choice, right? And then in the no choice scenario, then we say afkin rabban the kedushayu and make his bia be its nus in order to have the get be effective. But when there is a choice between an effective get and bia tznus, we're always going to pick an effective get. So the Ramban says none of these cases work, none of these situations work, because in all these cases you have a choice between an effective get and bia tznus. Right? An effective get and bia tznus, they're always going to choose effective get, and therefore it won't work in these cases that are not based on the takanas chachamim. So now next sugya, another machlokes between Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Tan Rabbanan, Amar le Asara, told 10 people, Kidvu get li ishti, write a get for my wife. Yochol levatel zesh lo bifnei ze divrei Rabbi. Rabbi says he can be mevatel the get, right? He can take away the shlichus from individual edim here without telling all 10 of them. He can say two of them, you know what, I don't want this get sent anymore. I don't want you to write the get anymore. Rabbi Shimon says, no way. If you want to be mevatel the shlichus, they all have to be there. Gemara says, what's the machlokus over here? Gemara says, the machlokus is, they're arguing about when an edus is partially eliminated, does that eliminate the total edus? So now it's clear, everybody agrees, when you have a psul in edus, when you have a group of edim and there's a psul there, even Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon, everybody agrees that if you're part of the edus is psul, then the whole edus is psul. You can't divide it up. Our question is, when the Baal himself invalidates a portion of the edus, or a portion of the edim over here, does that then invalidate the entire edus, or invalidate a portion of the edus? So what is that? Rabbi Savar, what does Rabbi believe? Edut shebatla miktzata lo batla kula. And Edus, when the Baal nullifies partial two of the Edim, he does not affect the other eight Edim. So then, V'i Azle Hanach. So what are we afraid of? We're afraid of that he told these two Edim, but the other eight didn't hear him. So the eight are going to go ahead and carry out the Shlichus that he sent. They're going to write a get and give it to the woman. So now she's going to end up with a get. What's so bad about that? Why? V'i Hanach, Katve, V'avi. Right? Lichtavu, Letzvu. What, you're worried about the others are going to write the get and give it to her? Let them do that. It's a valid get. Because according to Rabbi, when he invalidated two of those Edim, the other eight are still valid. And since they are valid Edim, when they go ahead and give the get to her, it's a real get. So what's the chashash? There's no chashash here, so therefore you can be mevatel to Edim, even though, right, they're not in front of the other Edim. But Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Savar, Edut Shebatla Miktzata, Batla Kula, that if he eliminates two of the Edim, then all the Edim are invalid now. None of them can do this kitvu get and give it to her. So if that's the case, what's going to happen? Two of them are going to know about his retraction. The other eight will not know about it. V'hanach lo yadei, v'azle v'katvei. They're going to go ahead and write this get, v'yavei, and give it to her. V'shari shidish l'alma. She's going to think it's a valid get, and the truth is it's invalid, because when he eliminated two of the Edim, he eliminated all 10 of them, and therefore they're not valid shlichim anymore. So based on that, Rabbi Shimon says that you must retract this shlichus in front of all 10 of them, so we don't run into that problem, as opposed to Rabbi, who says you can retract in front of a portion of them because the others are not invalidated by the partial retraction of the other two Edim. that if you eliminate two ADIM, then or two of these ADIM, then not all 10 of them are invalid. Even Rabbi Shimon Gamliel agrees to this. Ah, so what's the issue of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? This is what Shaul was saying. This is the problem. That when he engaged 10 people to do something, the only way to retract is retract all 10 of them, or to retract all of them. Meaning that by retracting a portion of it, it won't work. The only way to retract a mission or instructions is to retract the entire instruction and the entire mission, and that will require all 10 of them to be there in order to have it retracted, as opposed to before where we thought, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, you could retract a portion of it, but the problem is once you retracted a portion of it, you invalidated everybody. Over here, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, no, if you retract a portion of it, you will not invalidate everybody, but the retraction must be done, right, in front of everybody, because that's the only way you can do a retraction. And this means, according to this, is unbelievable, that according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, if he goes ahead and invalidates two, he says two of the Edom don't send the get, what happens if they go ahead and do it? What happens if the two Edom that he specifically said to them don't do it, and they go ahead and do it? What are you going to say? The truth is, what? It's going to work. Because according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that invalidation was not, right, valid. You can't invalidate two Edom without all 10 of them being there. And therefore, this invalidation doesn't work for those two Edom that are there. Alright, Ibailahu, Kulchem. What happens if he says Kulchem? Alright, if instead of saying, right, you know, 10 of you, meaning that any 10 of you can do this, any 2 of you 10 can do it, he says Kulchem, all 10 of you must be involved in this. Mahu, what's the din? If you say Taima Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Mishum Savar Edut Shebatla Miktsata Batla Kula, then when you eliminate or invalidate a portion of an Edut, the whole thing's invalidated. Bahani Kevin Amar Lahu Kulchem. Since over here he says all of you must be present in order to do it. Lo Matzukat Ve Viave. Meaning that we're not going to have this problem where the other 8 are going to go and do it without the knowledge of the 2 who had their shlichus revoked, because they need all 10 of them there to do anything. If they need all 10 of them to do anything, then there's no longer a chshash that we're going to run into this problem. Oh, Dilma time the Rishim Gamliel Mishum Kasavar Kol Milta Dimit Avdei BeApei BeAsara Tzuchi BeAsara LeMishlofa. Anything that's done Mishlofa, anything that's done in front of 10, in order to retract it or invalidate, you must do in front of all 10 of them. If that's the case, VeHilkach Afilu Kulchem Nami. Even by Kulchem, right, you'll still need to have, right, all 10 of them present, and then the takana, or the issue that you need to do at Zesh B'Fnei Zeh, is still going to be valid according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, because you need all of them there to invalidate it. Just like you need all of them there to start it, you have all of them there to remove it. So that's what you were saying, Shaul. That's exactly what you were talking about, that the Kulchem, right, this case of Kulchem is exactly this nafkamina between the two Tamim and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is in the din of Kulchem. All right, Tashma. Amar l'shnayim, he said to two of them, Tnu get li ishti. He gave a get to my wife. Yochol levatel zeh, shelo bifnei zeh, divrei Rabbi. Rabbi says you can be mevatel any one of the two of them when they're not present. Shugam leomerin yochol levatel zeh bifnei zeh. He must have both edim there present in order to mevatel it. But what do you mean? How many people do you need to give a get? How many people do you need to sign a get? You need 2 people to sign a get. So if he invalidates one of them, right, then by definition, the other one can't go and exercise his instructions because he needs the other aid with him. So if he already told the other aid it's invalid, we don't have this chashash that one of them is going to go do something that the other one doesn't know about. But if you believe, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel believes that you must always have anybody you give instructions to together, must be revoked together, right, then in this case too, that would be the situation. So the Gemara wants to prove from this which side of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is. V'hashnayim, d'chikuchem damu. 2 are the equivalent of saying, like, all of you. Why? Because 2, you can't do it less than 2. Uplige, and nevertheless, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel argues, if that's the case, then Rabbi Shimon Gamliel must believe, what's the reasoning for Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? Whenever you give instructions in front of a number of Edim, you must retract it in front of those Edim. Nothing to do with the fact that one of them may go off and do something by themselves, because Edu Shebatla Miktsata Batla Kula. So that's not, or ain't about, is not, lo Batla Kula. So that's not the problem. The problem is that if you give instructions, you must revoke them in front of the same people. So Amar Rav Ashi, you're trying to bring a proof from here. Ibei dektiva, if we're talking about the people who are writing the get, then what's what? That'd be fine. Why? Because what do you need? You need 2 people to write the get and to sign on the get. But what do you say over here? He says, Tnu get li ishti. How many people have to take a get to his wife? Right? Hachanami, that would have been the case. Hachamai skin and beide olocha. He just empowered them to give the get. Hachanami, Mistavu. I'm sorry. So if he empowered them to give the get, only one aide has to go and deliver the get. Either one of the two aidim can deliver the get. So he doesn't require two of them. If that's the case, that's not a proof which way Rabbi Shimon Galileo holds over here, because one aide could exercise the shlichus without knowing about the other aide. And therefore, if you're mevata one aide, that doesn't help you with regards to the other aide. So now Gemara says, Hochanami Yistava, that explanation of Ravashi makes sense in this case, in this Bryce, in this Tosefta. The Tani Seifa, because the Seifa of this Tosefta says, Amar lezeh b'fnei atzmo, ulezeh b'fnei atzmo. If he instructed them independently, Yochal levar tel zeh, shalo b'fnei zeh. Then he can eliminate the mission of one, not in front of the other. Why is that? Because when they are instructed independently, then he can revoke it independently because one has nothing to do with the other. Because being mevata one shlichus does not affect the other shlichus. You can't say that mevata mixes the edus affects the whole edus. They're not a single entity. These two people are totally separate. Ziyamar pishlomo be'edo holocha shapir. Right? If you say we're talking about edo holocha here, shlichim that are going to deliver it, then it makes sense he can do it independently. He can speak to each one independently because you only need one shlich holocha. Eliyamar vedik tiva mimitzdarfe. If he's instructing them to write the get and sign on it, how can he instruct two aidim to write a get independent of each other? You need to instruct both of them at the same time to write it and to sign on it. Why? Because you can't have an eidut become a single entity. Eidus or eidim are an entity when they are given instructions together. They're not eidim if they are brought independently or if they're independent of one and another. So now the Gemara says, well, Dilma, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karchas, Ravashi, I don't think the safe is not a proof that you're right over here. Why? Because maybe he holds like Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, and Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha argues on this position that you can't have two independent eidim come together to be mitztarif. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha believes that two independent eidim can come together to form a unit later on to be eidim. So also over here, maybe two independent instructions of ktiva could be mitztarif to create a single entity of ktiva, and therefore Ravashi's proof in the safe is not necessarily a proof the other way. But either way, it's inconclusive. This Tosef that we brought is inconclusive to which way Rabbi Shimon Gamliel goes. So I'm Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yehuda. Shma minei de Rabbi Ava Tarte. I heard from Rabbi Ava two things. Chadok Rabbi v'chadok Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. One of them he paskin like Rabbi, and one of them he paskin like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So what are they? These are, we had two machlokuses between Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi. What were they? One was whether if he goes against the Takanas or Gamliel, is it Mevutal? And number two is, are you allowed to be Mevatel Zeh Shalob Yifnei Zeh? Those are the two machlokas. So based on that, Rabbi Ava spoke about it, and he paskin like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in one case, and like Rabbi in the other case. So he says, V'liyadana, haika Rabbi, haika Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. I don't know which way it went. So Amar Rabbi Yosef, nechzazana. Let's see if we can solve this. Techiat, the Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came, Amar Masa, V'asa Rabbi, Kedivre Chamim. So a case in Ksubos, it's a Mishnah in Ksubos, which talks about Shuma Dayanim, that the Dayanim can make an assessment of the value of an object. And over there in the Mishnah says, if pachtu shtut or yoter mishtut, if they were over a sixth or under a sixth of the value, meaning that they over or underestimated by such a wide margin, then the shum is invalid. Everything's invalidated. So there on the spot, Rav Loza says, but what do you mean? Imkein makoach bazdin yofe. By the same claim that we have here in our Gemara. So they, over there, Rabbi goes along and paskins and gives a case like the Chachamim, saying that when the Beis Din makes such a mistake, we retract it. So he passed like the Chachamim. Then, Amar Lefanav Rabbi Prato. So over there, Rabbi Prato said to him, Beno Shavu Belozer Ben Prato, the son of Rabbi Belozer Ben Prato, Ben Beno Shavu Ben Prato Agodol. And he was the grandson, Prato, this Rabbi Prato, whose father was Rabbi Belozer, and whose grandfather is Prato. That means Ben Beno, he's the grandson of this Rav Prata HaGadol. That's the way Tosus reads it in Ksubos. You could have read it that the Rav Elozer Ben Prata, that second Prata, that Rav Elozer Ben Prata was the Ben Beno, that Prata was the Ben Beno Shal Prata HaGadol. But Tosus reads it as that they're all the same person. Rav Prata had a father named Rav Elozer and a grandfather named Rav Prata HaGadol. Im kein makoach bezin yofe. He makes the claim, im kein makoach bezin yofe, based on the Mishnah. V'choza Rabbi. Rabbi went back on his position over there. Also, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and then he passed like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Midahak Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, hachka Rabbi. So he says, oh well, what do we see? We see Rabbi went back on his position of going against when Beis Din makes a mistake, and when Beis Din says something, and you're okay that what Beis Din says, we don't say that it stands. Or if Beis Din makes a mistake, like in Ksubos, and we say that the Beis Din's gone. No, we say imke makoch Beis Din yofe. So he accepted that claim that makoch Beis Din yofe is enough to say something stands, despite the fact that midoraisa it's not good, or despite the fact that the assessment is totally off. So based on that, if agrees to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, then we know who he paskin like with regards to Mevutal. Right? Is the get Mevutal? We're going to say no, he paskin like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, because even Rabbi agrees to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel now. Ah, so that from that, if we know that's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, then we know that he paskin like Rabbi with regards to being Mevatel Zesh Lo Bifnei Zeh. Because we know that Rabbi Abba said, I paskin like one like Rabbi and one like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So we know for certain that he paskin like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel when it comes to Makoch Bizen Yofeh, because Rabbi agrees to, in the end, agrees to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. If Rabbi agrees to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, there's only one opinion. That's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's opinion. So he's paskin like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel over there. It's clear that in the other instance, he's paskin like Rabbi, and that's Zeh Shelo Bifnei Zeh. Alright, so V'av Rabbi Yoshia min demin Usha, Sarah Chadak Rabbi, Chadak Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. And even Rabbi Yoshia min Usha also holds to this idea that one of them is like paskin like Rabbi and one of them is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Damar Rabbi Barchana Chamisha Savi Havina and Kamei the Rabbi Yoshia demin Usha. We were five elders that sat before Rabbi Yoshia. Atu Gavra Kamei. This individual came before him. Ashkele Gita Al Korche. And he had to extract a get from him against his will. So he had to do. So then he had Edim. Once he said Rotsani, after he got the guy to say Rotsani, there were two Edim there, and he told him to go out and write the get. Amalahu, he said to these two Edim, right, Zilu Itzmeru, go hide, Vikatfula, and write the get. So why did he tell the Edim to go hide after they got this guy, forced him to say Rotsani and to give the get? Visakadat Karebi, if he holds like Rebbe, right, Kimitamre, my Havi. When the Edim go and hide, why does that help you? Because, what did Rabbi say? Rabbi said that if you are mevatel to get, if the husband is mevatel to get, even shlo b'fnei edim, right, not, he goes in and it's mevatel to get, not in front of the edim, it works, it's mevutal. So going and saying to the edim to go hide is not a good solution for Rabbi's position. Rabbi's position is that if you're mevatel to get, it is mevutal, even if you don't tell the shlichim, if you don't tell the edim, if you don't tell the isha. So having the edim go hide is not going to solve the problem except for Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Because Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that it doesn't work, the only way to mevatel a get is to retract, to say I'm not sending these Edim, or to say go get the Isha. So over here he told the Edim to go hide so that the husband couldn't take back his permission to these Edim to go write the get. So it's clear that Rabbi Yoshia paskin like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel when it comes to whether a Baal who's mevatel the get, is it mevutal like Rabbi, or is it, like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, that the Takanas Rabbi Gamliel stands, and there is no, that it is a valid get. So we see from here, it's clear that he holds like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, because he thinks it's a valid get. He's telling the Edom to go hide. Elish Mami no. So what do you see from this? Rabbi Shmuel Svirle. He holds like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. V'isakadatcha idach nami Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Well, if you think that he also, why can't we say that he paskin like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? And also the other side, which is what? That they have to do it. Zeh shelo bifnei zeh. To mevatel it, you have to do both of them together. Because that's lama lehu leitmurei. Then why did he suggest them go hide to the Edim? What could he have said to them? Levadru, split up. Right? Because Levadru Ibdure, go and split up. Because for Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, if they split up, you can't be mevatel them anymore. Why? Because you have to do them together. So as soon as they split up, then according to Rabbi Gamliel, you can never accomplish the bitul because they're both not in the same place. So Ella must be that he's passing like Rabbi. That what? That you can be mevatel zeh shelo b'fnei zeh. So since he paskins like Rabbi that you can be mevatel zeh shelo b'fnei zeh, therefore he told Edim to hide and not to just split up. Because if they had split up, if he found one of the Edim and said it to him and then went to the other Edim and said it to him, that would be a good bittul. On the other hand, he holds clearly like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel when it comes to if he is successful at being mevatel it, it doesn't work. Meaning why? Because why did he tell the Edim to go hide? According to Rabbi, even if the Edim are hidden, he can be mevatel this get, shlo b'fnei ha'edim, shlo b'fnei ha'isha, because it's mevutal. So the fact that he says go hide, and that the Edim being in hiding prevents him being mevatel the get, what does that show you? That shows you that he holds like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel when it comes to if the husband is mevatel against the Kanas Rabbi Gamliel, he holds Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that doesn't work. So now, Rav Amar Rav Nachman, and Rav in the name of Nachman says, Halacha k'Rabbi b'shteihem. The Halacha is like Rabbi in both of them. So Mar says, "V'leslei l'Rav Nachman makoch beizden yofeh." If you paskin like Rabbi in both cases, that means that you hold that we don't worry about this issue of makoch beizden yofeh. We don't worry about the integrity of the court system or the ability of courts or the chum to establish takanot. That even though they establish a takana and it's uprooted by your doing, we don't worry about that. Is that really true? V'amar Rav Nachman Shmuel. Every case here, this is a case we saw in Ksubos also. Yitomim shebolach loch b'nikseh aviyem. Someone that come to divide up their father's estate. Beis Din ma'amidin lehem apotropus. Beis Din sets up for each of them a executor for their estate to watch over the property for them. Now Tosfos points out over here that the actual chalukah is done by Beis Din. Beis Din does the division, and the apotropus is to take care of the property once it's split up. And Tosfos over here also talks about this in Ksubos also, whether how they split it up. Whether they did it, Beis Din actually was mechalik it, they divided it up, or is it they did it out of the goral. They actually did a lottery. They divided up the party, and then they took a lottery, and they split it up that way. And then they choose for them a chelik yofet. That's done out of the Beis Din, according to Tosfos. Higdilu yacholim limchot. When they grow up, the Yesomim can reject the division that was done here. Rachman says, Higdilu ain yacholim limchot. When they grow up, they can't be moche. Dimkein makoch Beis Din yofet. But then, what's the purpose of having Beis Din take any action? If Beis Din takes action, they grow up, they say, we don't care what Beis Din did, then you're undermining, again, you're undermining the power of Beis Din, you're undermining the integrity of the court system. So you see that Rav Nachman does hold of Makoch Beis Din Yofet. So why over here is he passing like Rabbi and ignoring that fact? So Gemara says, Hata Mimona. Over there was a case of Mamon. Hacha Isura. Over here we're talking about Isura. So Rashi explains the difference. What does it mean, Hata Mimona? Over there it's Mamon. Why? Because of Hefker, Beis Din, Aya Hefker. Right? Because it's Hefker, Beis Din, Hefker. So since it's Hefker, Beis Din, Hefker, by Mamon, that works. But when it comes to Kiddushin, we don't have that function of Hefker, Beis Din, Hefker. And therefore, we're dealing with the Isura. And because we're dealing with the Isura of Eshet Ish, Mikum, Koach, Beis Din, Yofer, we're not going to be Matir, Eshet Ish, we're not going to be a Mafkia, Kiddushin. So the problem is, what we said before, according to Tosfos and Rashi, how do we get rid of the Kiddushin before? How do we get rid of the Kesef Kiddushin? We said because of Hefker, Beis Din Hefker. So what's the difference here? Why is Hefker, Beis Din Hefker work by Mamon? And by it, when we said Kesef Kiddushin, then we say, no. They don't. The Hefker, Beis Din Hefker doesn't really work. So I saw the Chasam Sofer actually differentiates and says, it's very interesting that we don't, when it comes to be Mafkia the Kiddushin, in these instances, we won't say Hefker, Beis Din Hefker, and won't say Shavyo, right, the Rabbanu Meshavyele, the Bilat Znus, unless we know that the husband acquiesces, that we need also the acquiescence of the husband to this happening. So how do we have the acquiescence of the husband? That's when he says, when he gets married, he says, the Kiddushin Adat Derabonon. Because he gets married Adat Derabonon, and therefore we say, because he says, Kedat Moshe Yisrael, that together with the fact, right, that we have either Hefker based in Hefker, or together with the fact that we have a case of znus, then we will say ma koch. Then we will say, or we'll be willing to undermine the kiddushin. But stam to say hefker based on hefker by kiddushin, that we won't say unless you're mitzvah together. So that's a differentiation over here. We're differentiating between kiddushin and mamon. Is that even though both may be using hefker based on hefker, but by mamon, when we say hefker based on hefker, we're willing to be mafalit by the yisomim, even without anybody's permission, without anybody saying anything, without any acquiescence. Over here, by the mykoch bazinyev, by kiddushin, since it involves the husband, without the husband's acquiescence, we will not invoke that principle. And since that's the case, there's a difference between the way based on hefker based on hefker works by isura versus how it works by mamon, and therefore you can draw a differentiation between those two or how they function. And that's important because it comes down to, for instance, cases like, what happens if a person gets married to a Isser Lav? Why don't we say, in that case, call the Mekadesh, adat to the Rabbanim Mekadesh? And it's not good. The Chamin don't want you to marry an Isser Lav, so why is it a good Kiddushin? But we know in the Torah that it is a good Kiddushin. So what? There are different answers. One answer is given is because the Torah explicitly says it works, so they can't change that. Or the other possibility is that we only say that Kol Mekadesh Adayt Rabbanu Mekadesh is when at the time of Kiddushin, he has a good Kiddushin. I mean, he has a Kiddushin that works. I mean, he says, I have a regular Kiddushin, so I do it Adayt Rabbanu. Later on, we have a problem comes up, then it was Adayt Rabbanu. But in the first place, if he's marrying against the Das Chacham, you can't say that he's Mekadesh Adayt Rabbanu. Because it's clear he doesn't care what the Rabbanu say, because he's getting married against their will. He's marrying an Isser Lav. So it's clear there that his Kiddushin is not Adayt Rabbanu. And that came up with interesting what people will get married against the Takanas Rabbeinu Gershom. Later on, when the Takanas Rabbeinu Gershom was put in place, people married against the Takanas Rabbeinu Gershom, was their Kiddushin a good Kiddushin or not a good Kiddushin? So some wanted to say that it was what? Called Mekadesh, a Daita Rabban or Mekadesh, and therefore it's not a good Kiddushin. Ramban says that that's not a good answer. Why? That has nothing to do with it. Because Yisur Lav works. No, the reason it does, right, because the reason it doesn't work over here is because, right, the Kiddushin, when a person goes out and says Kiddushin and Daita Rabbanon, that's only when he wants the Rabbanon's permission. But rather, it works over here, it doesn't work is because the Takanas Rabbeinu Gershom eliminated one's ability to make Kiddushin in that way. And since it eliminated his ability to make Kiddushin that way, he can never establish Kiddushin in those instances. All right, we'll stop over here.